guys, and welcome back to The Pulse. Another exciting Monday where we're sitting back talking to people who are doing all kinds of things. They're changing the world, they're changing the industry, and they're talking to us. One of those people joins us today, what, 60 plus films and TV shows and a podcast, and comedian Michael Rappaport joins us. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. And both you and I were talking before we got started that we're both struggling with the throat thing, as both of us yell a little bit for a living.
Yes, yes. I'm sure you probably don't go to the octaves that I go to, but yeah. I think it's just seasonal right now, but I'm on the mend. I'm on the mend, and I'm looking forward to performing in Philadelphia, and I'm looking forward to talking to you.
I'm glad to hear it, and we'll do our best to keep our voices together. Man, as you prepare, you're a podcast host, so you know this. As you prepare to talk to people, Googling them and looking at their background and everything else, man, you Google you, and it's everywhere. Like, you're always into something. Has that always been you, or just as the career continued to grow?
You know, I think that social media and, you know, the combination of social media and my career and the things that I've done and things that I talk about have made me Googleable recently. It's not a plan. It's not anything that I contrive. I just try to be myself. I try to be honest. And, you know, there's been so much going on in the world. And, you know, I have a lot to say about a lot of different things, and I just try to be as genuine as I possibly can without taking myself too seriously.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would question you being genuine out there getting involved in all of these issues. And we'll explore a lot of it, obviously. But when you look at all of that, are you enjoying it? Is it a lot? Is it additional responsibility? Like, how do you take that whole social media podcast thing?
I don't think it's any responsibility. I think it's just the most important thing is to just be, you know, truthful to myself, to be honest, to try to be informed. And, you know, as far as the podcast, you know, like podcasts now are like, you know, like buttholes. Everybody has one. Fortunately, I was able to get in on it right before the sort of big bang of podcasts and developed a good following and, you know, have grown with the medium. And as far as social media, you know, I got a lot of, you know, I'm interested in a lot of things. I love my sports. I love my pop culture stuff. And you know, and I love my social issues. And it's kind of like a video diary. You could sort of articulate and get your feelings and thoughts out about everything.
I started off saying, you know, 60 plus films, 100 TV shows, all of these different things. How did you get here? Like, was this always the plan? You started as a stand-up comedian, right?
I started as a stand-up. I fell in love with acting once I started to do it. I was very young. I was 20, 21 years old. And then, you know, I was acting and continue to act. I'll always act. That'll always be my first love. You know, I started doing stand-up again about 4 years ago. You know, I love doing that too. I love the immediacy of it. I love the just the unpredictability of it. I love the fact that, you know, it's very spontaneous. It's very, you know, no show is ever completely the same. You know, and as far as this, you know, the sort of Michael Rappaport being myself and, you know, the sort of persona, you know, that's social media. I've always been this way. I've always had things to say. I just never really kind of said them publicly because there was really no reason for me to or no outlet to it. And like I said earlier, I never really contrive it. And, you know, when people get excited about things I say or pissed off about things I say, I wish there was a way to sort of control the volume of it. I have no control over it.
I want to look a little bit, and I want to come back to that because there's a lot, but going back through the career, because I go back with you to like Higher Learning, you know, and those types of movies. When did you realize you had it? Because then for people who are familiar with like the Higher Learning movie that I'm talking about, that's not a stand-up comedian role. Like that was you showing you have the acting chops and you were young.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as far as I've always felt confident in my ability as an actor to be very genuine. I don't think I'm the most technical actor, but I've always wanted to be able to articulate and express honesty and my feelings, whether the characters are likable or not likable. I always want them to be human, and I always want them to be tangible and to feel them. And I think I've done a good job of doing that. And, you know, I've been fortunate to do all sorts of films in all sorts of genres and all sorts of TV shows in all sorts of genres. And, you know, it's been 30 years of doing that. And, you know, I want to continue to push myself as an actor and, you know, take all the opportunities that I can and also, you know, continue to do other things and challenge myself and push myself to try to, you know, just find ways to express myself. Because at the end of the day, that's really, you know, what you know, artists want to do. We just want to express ourselves.
Yeah. And I like general question with everything that you've done. Is anything a standout? Everything a favorite? Like, I feel like you've done a little bit of everything. What's the thing you most enjoy doing?
I can't say there's a favorite. You know, working in Higher Learning was great. The movie True Romance, Beautiful Girls, Copland. You know, I did four episodes of the TV show Friends, which never seems to go away. You know, my podcast, the live shows, all of it. You know, I haven't really had much to complain about. You know, I really don't take the opportunities for granted. I really don't. And I feel very fortunate that I get to do what I do. That's genuine.
But this couldn't have been the plan. Like, when you decide to try, you know, the stand up and get into it early, like looking back 30 years, do you ever think it would get to this?
You know, the business has changed. You know, my initial plan when I started was, you know, to be the next Eddie Murphy. You know, like, I loved Eddie Murphy and I wanted to sort of be a stand-up comedian that started acting based on his comedy. And that really wasn't my thing, you know. And that's not the way things unfolded for me. And that's not, you know, like how it worked out. Like, you know, the first time I ever auditioned for something as an actor, you know, I'd always dreamed of being a basketball player. That didn't come true anywhere near close to coming true. But when I first looked at scenes to just audition for, like, it made sense to me, like the beats of it, the timing of it, the expression of it, the being able to express myself in an honest way, that that made sense to me. And I just like gravitated towards it. And, you know, I've always had confidence in you know, being able to do that and to do that well. And, you know, you grow and you learn and you improve and, you know, you just continue to keep going and try to, you know, become better and better.
Were you always the guy who didn't mind taking the big swing? Like, you talked about, you know, going out there and just being you on social media. But I'm looking at some of the, and we'll talk about some of that. You don't have a problem taking the big swing and addressing the big issue.
I've always had a mouth. I've always had opinions. I've always had a lot of energy. I've always asked questions. I've always been sort of, you know, disruptive. I've always naturally went against the grain with certain things. And I'm also, you know, like to, I don't think, you know, like when I take the big swings, like you reference, you know, a lot of times in the things that I say and the things that I, you know, do on social media, you know, a lot of times the humor that I'm trying to get across gets missed because people get frustrated with the topic. But I always try to give a little wink, wink, no matter what it is, unless it's something very, very, very serious. And I don't think that that's, you know, appropriate, but even in relatively serious things, I like to, there's always a wink, wink in there if you pay attention.
You're the guy now who in some ways is, I don't know if I go all the way to influencing politics, but involved in politics and having these strong statements. Do you embrace that?
I embrace it. I embrace it. I never paid attention, literally never paid attention to politics at all. I mean, I voted, but it was blind voted and, you know, voted for who, you know, I'd ask my mother and my father, who should I vote for? And I didn't know, you know, the details of politics. I still don't consider myself an expert at all, but I do pay attention, and I, you know, just do listen to a lot of points of views, a lot of different points of views. And, you know, I'm informed now. I consider myself informed. I don't think I'm, you know, an expert by any means, but I just feel like, you know, you get to a certain age, and, you know, the last administration, you know, the Trump administration, for me, that's what, you know, I had to say something, because I felt like, you know, a lot of wool was being pulled over the eyes of people, and I didn't like the rhetoric, and I didn't like the name calling and the bullying. And I think the bullying and all that stuff is, you know, I don't think it's appropriate for a president to do that. Leave that to the comedians, leave that to everybody else but the president to come up with nicknames and stuff like that. Like, I feel like, you know, there's a certain decorum that you must have to be a president. And if you want to be a president who's, you know, of the people, you could still do that without being disrespectful to, you know, other people who've served this country, whether it be, you know, as in military or in Congress. You know, that's what really kind of got me hyped up. That, to be honest, is what really got me involved.
Yeah, and I don't want to go too far into the issues, but that is kind of embracing that whole big swing thing. Because when you start using that voice to do that, and you're multi-million followers, like, it puts you into a different realm, both with people who love you and people who passionately come at you. Were you prepared for all that?
I mean, I don't know if I was necessarily prepared. You know, I've learned a lot about the way people feel about certain things from the way they express themselves online. You know, I've never really had that in real life, but online people will say some really crazy things, and, you know, the anti-Jewish and the racist stuff, like the fact that people are so comfortable talking about that in a public forum, that's the thing that trips me out the most. And, you know, kind of like the first time I've had social media beef or, you know, a social media incident, I don't know if I was necessarily ready, but I just went into my, you know, Keanu Reeves Matrix disruptive, you know, mode, and just start, you know, just bobbing and weaving and throwing it back.
Right. Don't let the celebrity fool you. I'm still New York.
I mean, I'm 100% New York, and New York, my attitude, the way I speak, you know, my sort of just whole thing is from growing up here in New York, and you know, it's part of who I am.
So you're on tour now. You will be in Philadelphia. I mean, you're on tour a lot, but you'll be in Philadelphia April 27th, 28th, 29th at Helium Comedy Club. What does a Michael Rappaport show look like when people come check you out?
Michael Rappaport show looks, there's a lot of energy. I like to make fun of myself. I like to make fun of you know, there's some pop culture. There's definitely, it's very personal. You know, I talk about being married, I talk about being divorced, talk about being a father, talk about being remarried, talk about, you know, alimony, talk about, you know, some politics, some sports, and I definitely interact with the crowd. So the crowd is definitely something that I lean on to give them the best time possible. And I think people, you know, expect, you know, some trash talk, and I give it to them, but it's friendly fire. I never want to make anybody feel bad or embarrass anybody. I like to, you know, bust chops, but it's friendly fire.
Have you talked about that, and you mentioned Eddie Murphy, but we were just, we had Donnell Rawlings on, we had Jeff Ross on, and a couple of people were talking about that kind of role of the comedians going out there on stage, but the world we live in now requires you to talk about specific issues while having fun with it. Do you kind of embrace that voice? Yeah, this is funny, but these are things that need to be addressed.
I do. You know, everybody has their sort of code or way they go about them. You know, some people don't talk politics at all, social issues. Some people, you know, stay away from it, but have a lot to say in real life or private. I don't even know if there's a difference anymore. Yeah. You know, and you know, and everybody's got a right to speak on what they want to speak on, not speak on what they want to speak on. You know, I know everybody's got personal feelings, especially entertainers have the way they want to sort of handle those things. And that's up to each and every person, you know, to be honest. You know, for me, I've always grown up. I've always had a lot to say. I've always, you know, for better or worse, talked and said things. And you know, like when my live shows, you know, there's definitely sort of a, you know, current events stuff. You know, if something happens in the day, I'll talk about it. If something happens within the, you know, the week, I'll talk about it. And then I have my, you know, my act and stuff like that. And, you know, I just try to make it free flowing. And you know, I don't take it lightly that people, you know, come to see me perform live. You know, there's so many options of things to do, whether it's watching you, whether it's Netflix and chill, whether it's watching the game, whether it's scrolling on your phone. So when people pay hard-earned money to come see me, like, I want to make sure they walk away knowing that I gave it 500%, no matter what's going on in the weather, my world, you know, whatever. Like, you know, I take that very, I take it very seriously, and I'm always thrilled and honored and humbled by people coming to see me. So when they leave, I want to give them the best I could possibly give them.
You are one of those people, when I walk around the newsroom and producers and whatnot, I tell people we've got the guests coming on the show. And I do that a lot because I try to see what people's response is for people coming in. And there were 1,000 for you. So when I mentioned you, things like, what's with the reality TV obsession? Like, he loves talking about reality TV.
Love it. I don't know why they haven't made the Real Housewives of Philadelphia yet. Love it all.
I don't know. That'd be
love all the
TV.
Real Housewives. Love the Love is Blind, the Love Island, the F-Boy Island, the Bachelor, the Bachelorette, the Bachelor in Paradise.
What is that about?
Say it again.
What is that about? Like, why the obsession?
I just think it's great TV. I think it's, you know, the simplest form of entertainment. And I think that at the end of the day, especially everything that's going on in the world, you know, it's just simple entertainment. It's funny. It's at times fascinating. I'll go as far as sometimes it's heartwarming. Yes, I said it. And people that watch reality TV, the shows I just mentioned, they know what I'm talking about. You know, I don't just watch reality TV. I watch all the highfalutin shows. And of course, I watch my sports, the NBA playoffs. This is my time of year. I'm excited about, you know, the playoffs going on. And I'm curious to see what I think your regular season MVP is going to do.
Yes.
With the Sixers. But, you know, yeah, reality TV is probably, outside of sports, what I watch the most.
And always got something to say about it. I got to tell people who should know this, he is an outstanding social media follow. So if you haven't followed him, you're not one of the, what, 10 million across multiple platforms?
Something like that. You know, some of them are there because they want to cause trouble, and some of them are there because they like me.
Another question, when I was walking around the newsroom, pointed out the fact that in what, the last several months, there's been beef with a former president, there's been beef with a current first lady as it relates to her comment on the whole LSU situation. Kanye, Kyrie, have you ever gotten to a point, and we can talk about all of those, where you went, okay, that was a little too much of a swing. Now I'm now arguing with the first lady or the president.
There's been a couple of things that I think have gotten a little too much, but not with any of the political stuff. You know, I won't give them the credit to say, but there's been a couple of things where I'm like, a couple of things, you know, they, like, you know, like I said, you know, if I knew how to manufacture viral stuff, I would be a billionaire. But sometimes, you know, things just take a life of their own. And you really can't predict when they are and when they do. But it's part of the game. You know, as far as, you know, someone that likes to talk trash, I know that you have to be able to take it as good as you give it. And that's part of the game. That's part of the game.
The camera always around mindset, has that been a problem? Your social media is somebody who got in your face at a protest recently in New York, almost turned into a let's go around the corner and settle this kind of thing, and it's always on camera.
That I think we all have gotten used to, that particular situation. was surprising. I was not, listen, I am not a troublemaker in terms of like, I don't think I'm a tough guy. I don't wanna be, I'm 53 years old. I'm not physically confrontational. You know, I was just going there because I wanted to see it. You know, I had been so emotionally involved in all the things that have been going on politically the last few years, that this was going on in New York. And I just wanted to go down there. And like, that was bugged out, to be honest with you. But it was really nothing, but it was just kind of like, yo, I feel like I'm in one of these videos. Like, I felt like I was in one of those videos. And as far as the cameras everywhere, I mean, that's just part of the time now. And I'm mindful of it, whether it be on the street, drinking coffee, or, you know, on the subway. You know, you sometimes see people filming you and stuff like that. And I most of the time don't have a problem with it. You know, after all the years that I've been working and been in the public eye, you know, I'd have bigger fish to fry if nobody wanted to film me. So, you know, 99.9% of the time I'm cool with it. Unless like I'm with my wife, you know, but she's comfortable. She understands it too. And, you know, when my kids were smaller, I didn't like it. I didn't think that's inappropriate, but they're grown now. So it's all right.
Is there ever, again, we talk about these moments, you now have been the love interest on a TV show. Like, after all of this career, you were the love interest on a TV show of somebody who now has the Duchess title, standing there next to Meghan Markle. Ever again, with something like that, you're like, yo, I was in there acting with the Duchess. Or is that just, that was this crazy. Is my life?
Yeah, that was crazy. I did TV show, The War at Home, and she was on a couple episodes. And, you know, at the time she was just an actress, and, you know, she was nice and, you know, sweet and pleasant and very pretty and, you know, very professional. And then you see this whole thing. It's crazy. Like, somebody, you know, that reaches that kind of worldwide notoriety and fame, especially in that way. It's a trip to see that.
Yeah. Just a couple more. You were also labeled as, and I can't curse on this show, but you certainly could. Somebody said, if I don't give an F was a person, it would be Michael Rapaport in terms of standing out there and confronting stuff.
I think that's the case. You know, I do give an F about a lot of things. I do give an F about, you know, my family. I do give an F about, you know, my persona, my image, and, you know, how I'm perceived. But when push comes to shove, if something to me is important and needs to be said, I will definitely say it. And at that point, I don't give a F. And you know, sometimes, you know, the way those things pan out or the way they pan out. I'm well aware of it at this point, getting, you know, more familiar and understanding that social media is something you should try to control. But I think the things that I've done on social media that people have responded to are the ones that I don't think much about it. It's just sort of an expression of a feeling or a frustration.
I guess one of the things that was interesting, and I've asked a couple of people who have transitioned into talk shows and comedy and what have you, it's different when you're talking about issues that are people you know or people you interact with. And when you post something now, oftentimes the people themselves will respond or other high profile individuals jump in, you know, on the discussion. Is that ever hard? When you were filling in on the Wendy show before, like, you had to talk about people who in some circumstances were your friends.
That's a little bit of a trip, but I think for the most part, I don't try to be mean-spirited. You know, I think there's a difference between breaking balls, you know, busting chops, and being mean-spirited. And, you know, I, especially with the pop culture stuff and the reality TV stuff, I'm just a fan. And, you know, I think the tone is obvious when it's breaking balls and when it's, you know, something a little bit more serious. You know, and it's funny when you know the people or you've known the people, or you've met the people, but I got to call it as I see it.
Do they mostly get it? Like, have most of the people you've had any interaction with and had to talk about, do they feel that way? Or are they like, yo, I thought we,
I've never had a real sort of run in with anybody that I've gone at in person. And if I do, you know, I'm sure that things will be, you know, fine.
Yeah. Time shoots by a half an hour. So we want to remind people again, he's going to be at the Helium Comedy Club here, but make sure you're following Michael Rappaport on social media because he's in various places. And of course, this show is also national, so you can catch him if you're not in the Philadelphia area. He's all over the place. One of the things that is the theme of this show is the concept of use your voice for good. That's how we try to wrap up every interview with every person, by kind of trying to figure out what use your voice good means, use your voice for good, excuse me, means to them.
I mean, you know, where, do you mean like, what do I think, how I think I could use my voice right now?
Yeah, whatever that means to you.
I would really wish somehow, some way, and I would give up my whole disruptive platform if there was a way to get rid of the shootings and the guns, albeit I don't care what color you are. I don't care what kind of gun you use. I don't care what your sexuality it is. I don't care what city you're in. I don't care what the reason is. The gun violence in this country is so frustrating, so upsetting, and it's such a conundrum, and I don't have an answer on how it could be fixed. But the shootings in my city, New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, the, you know, the mass shootings in that have happened in Memphis, that have happened in you know, everywhere. It's like every day. And then the other mass shootings, because a lot of times people, one thing that people don't know is now they're calling mass shootings, it could be two or more people that are shot. And that happens all the time. That's why the numbers are up. And if there was a way to figure out a way to stop that, to me, is really very disheartening. And it's like every time you hear about it, you have to make a decision how emotionally involved you're going to get, because it's so devastating to hear, whether it's school shootings or random kid or two misled, misguided, unfortunate, you know, gangbangers who are ruining their lives and ruining so many, you know, other people's lives by killing each other over nothing. I don't care what the reason is, who's shooting, what kind of guns, AR-15s, hand, I don't care what it is. I wish it would stop. And I would give up, you know, something to do that, if there was a way to do that.
See, and I think that wraps it up in a nutshell. That is clearly I care, yeah, and using the platform. We will see you in Philly. We'll see you soon. Whenever you're here, if you want to come by the Pulse, you got a home here, man. We would love to sit here and chop it up with you.
I would love that. And, you know, I don't know where the show's showing nationally, but all tickets, all information for all my shows are at michaelrappaportcomedy.com, and I'll be around the country, and I appreciate you having me. This was awesome.
Thank you very much, man. April 27th, 28th, 29th in Philly at the Helium Comedy Club and nationally all over the place. Check him out on social media and the podcast, and we'll talk again soon.
I appreciate this. This is a great interview, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, too. We'll talk soon, man, and work on that voice. I'm going to go get some tea myself.
Thank you.
All right, man. Guys, thanks so much for listening to today's episode of The Pulse with Michael Rappaport. As you just heard in his closing comments, that actually was a lot of what I expected from Michael Rappaport after following him on social media. There are instances of comedy. There are instances of sensitivity. There are instances of activism. But all of that comes from a place of having a real concern about the issues that are impacting society and using his voice in ways that he sees fit. I enjoyed it, hope you did as well. And a reminder, just hit the subscribe button so every time a new episode comes out on Mondays, you'll get the notification. And another reminder that there are so many episodes you may not have had the chance to check out. They're all available on YouTube. I encourage you to go back and take a look. LeVar Ball and Sherry Shepherd and Kenny Lattimore and Vivica A. Fox and Brian Westbrook, Jazzy Jeff. There are so many of them there. If you haven't had a chance to see them, go and check them out. Hit me up on social media. I'm always eager to hear from you at Bill A. Fox 29 on all platforms. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you that whenever you can, use your voice for good, and have a good one.